Let us pray.
O Lord, we pray that your grace may always proceed and follow after us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Darren Ether shares a story about a woman who testified to the transformation she had experienced from her conversion to Jesus Christ. She declared, I'm so glad I have found faith. I have an uncle I used to hate so much, I vowed I never would go to his funeral. But now, why, I'd be happy to go to it anytime. My brothers and sisters, the gospel of Jesus Christ brings transformation. We have passed from death to life because of the saving works of our Lord, of what he accomplished in his perfect life, death, burial, and resurrection. But our transformation is not a quick snap of the fingers. It's a process that takes the rest of our lives, day by day by day. But because we are already in Christ, because we already have a new life in him, we are to live a different kind of life. We are to become living sacrifices. You see, all of life is liturgical formation with beliefs, rituals, and practices that shape us toward an end goal. The final result is that we either come out looking like the world with its thought processes, values, and practices, or we come out looking like our Lord by God's grace working within us. What Paul presents to us today are two options. One, conformity to the world, or two, transformation toward the new Adam, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Conformity to the world means we keep on continuing in the old life, in its old patterns. Transformation means the patterns of the old life are left behind for the new one. But where are the living sacrifices of the American church? Have we simply carried along the old setting with us? David Rohrer comments, the motorhome has allowed us to put all the conveniences of home on wheels. A camper no longer needs to contend with sleeping in a sleeping bag, cooking over a fire, or hauling water from a stream. Now he can park a fully equipped home on a cement slab in the midst of a few pine trees and hook up a water line, a sewer line, and electricity. No more bother with dirt, no more smoke from the fire, no more drudgery of walking to the stream. Now, it is possible to go camping and never have to go outside at all. We buy a motorhome with the hope of seeing new places, of getting out into the world. Yet we deck it out with the same furnishings as our living room. Thus, nothing really changes. We may drive to a new place, set ourselves in new surroundings, but the newness goes unnoticed, for we've only carried along our old setting. Sadly, that can be said of many within the church today. Sadly, there is very little transformation because of an unwillingness to break away from conformity to the world, to the old patterns of life. Yet, as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen? But where is the daily liturgy of life among believers showing them to be living sacrifices? Where is it? Where is the transformation that leads to renewed minds and lives set apart for the Lord to serve? To serve. Today, my friends, let us see how the thoughts of our minds influence our behavior, our actions, our daily living. And let us ask ourselves if we are living a liturgical lifestyle that conforms to the world, or if we are living a liturgical lifestyle that demonstrates that we are being transformed as living sacrifices. So if you please follow along, we'll be beginning at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, found on page 682 in your pew Bibles. Now, in chapters 1 through 11, Paul has been talking about the incredible mercies of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Last week, we zoomed in on our God being a most merciful God. But now, as we begin chapter 12, we see how we are to respond to God's mercies. Paul writes in verse 1, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Say that with me, spiritual worship. You see, as an apostle, Paul can plead with authority. But to whom does he plead? To whom does he plead? To the international family of God, which make up the olive tree of chapter 11. The church in Rome consisted of both Jewish and Gentile believers, but their ethnic backgrounds fade away here. Now they are one family. They are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And the apostle implores them by the wonderful mercies of God. He has already elaborated upon in this letter these wondrous mercies that we continue to experience daily as Christians. It is because of these ongoing mercies that believers are to present their bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And with the sacrificial imagery that Paul unpacks for us here, I hope we all begin to see that all of life is liturgical. All of it. What we think about, what we do, our work, our eating, our exercising, our resting. We no longer live for ourselves. We are a kingdom, a priest for our God. We are living sacrifices. We belong to the Lord, and we remember that we are always walking in his presence, in his sight. St. John Chrysostom put it this way, "And how is the body, may it be said, to become a sacrifice? Let the eye look at no evil thing, and it has become a sacrifice. Let your tongue speak nothing filthy, and it has become an offering. Let your hand do no lawless deed, and it has become a whole burnt offering." What does your daily priestly sacrifice look like? Do you present your bodies with its thought life without blemish to the Holy One? Oftentimes we give the Lord a little bit of this or a little bit of that when it comes to our daily lives. The Lord wants all of us, not just a part of us. He wants the whole thing. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. So when we present our bodies, and again, that includes the imagination of our hearts, are they a pleasing aroma to the Lord? Are they? Douglas Moo comments, "Our obedience is the product of what God has done in our lives, not something we can manufacture on our own. As new covenant Christians, we no longer offer animal sacrifices. We now offer ourselves as a living sacrifice." But let's dive deeper into the contrast of dead sacrifices of the old covenant compared to living ones. In the Old Testament, and indeed elsewhere in the ancient world, people would bring animals to sacrifice. Then these animals would be killed, then they would be offered up in the fire. Yet make no mistake, what was offered was dead before the flames consumed their remains. Whatever animal it was had already been killed. Not so with us. We are living sacrifices. So note Paul's striking imagery here. We have been crucified with Christ. We have been buried with him, and we also have been raised with him. We are living sacrifices. Therefore, we now live new lives, offering them daily to the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We have been set apart and dedicated to our God, whose mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We live out our priestly lives with a liturgy of life that is acceptable to God. And our text says this is our spiritual worship. Spiritual worship. But this must be broken down as well. The imagery here of offering all of who we are up to the Lord testifies to what Jesus said. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. This is intelligent worship. Intelligent worship. Worship that offers up the totality of the mind, the heart, and the body. It is not ceremonial like the animal sacrifices of old. For as John Stott notes, it is not to be found in the temple or the cathedrals, but in home life and in the marketplace. It is a worship lifestyle, 24/7, a liturgy of life, a liturgy of life. And this is not only spiritual and intelligent, but most reasonable as well. For how can we not offer up ourselves daily as living sacrifices when we consider the great mercies of God in Jesus Christ? How can we not? Therefore, as living sacrifices, we are commanded not to conform to the schemes of this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. The renewal of our minds. The world has a strong gravitational pull that influences our minds and our bodies to conform to its standards. The schemes of the world seek to tell us how to think and how to behave. But as living sacrifices in our own bodies, we bear the Holy Spirit, whom Paul has said in 8:11 will eventually raise us from the dead. We then do not conform to the schemes of this present age. We are to be transformed because we belong to the age to come, which has already broken into our world because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the issue that we face as Christians is we are between two ages. So we must discern the will of God. What is good? What is acceptable? What is perfect? Our character and our behavior must be transfigured, pulling away from the gravitational pulls of the world which seek to conform us to its schemes, towards the image of Christ Jesus, the perfect one. You see, God transforms us from the inside out. From the inside out. And our thoughts have consequences. Say that with me. Our thoughts have consequences. We are to think godly things, heavenly things, and not earthly things, which then influence our actions in this world. This is spiritual, intelligent, and reasonable worship. This is what it means to be living sacrifices. But what we oftentimes see in Scripture, my friends, is the connection between the vertical and the horizontal. As living sacrifices, we have a different mindset, a different mentality from the world and this present age. The mindset of the world is that it's all about us. But that is the opposite of what Paul is saying in our passage today. In verse 3, he writes, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Humility is what is needed more in our world today. Thomas Barris shares a story about a colonel who served as inspector general at a military base. And the colonel paid very close attention to how his personnel wore their uniforms. On one occasion, he spotted a junior airman with a violation. "Airman," he bellowed, "what do you do when a shirt pocket is unbuttoned?" The startled airman replied, "Button it, sir, button it." The colonel looked him in the eye and said, "Well?" And at that, the airman nervously reached over and buttoned the colonel's shirt pocket. Humility is needed in the church today. Do you think yourselves higher than you ought? You see, the conceitedness that we see and know so well in the world is not to be the attitude, is not to be the mindset within the church. We have Paul reminding us of humility, which is the way of Jesus. And this is extremely important for what comes next in our passage. For in verse 4, he says, "For as in one body we have many members, And the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Here again, we have Paul's usage of the body. If one is a Christian, you are somebody within the body. Say that with me. If one is a Christian, you are somebody within the body. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian, where people say, I believe in the Lord, and yet I do not go to church. It's not New Testament Christianity. But each of us have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to be used in order for the body to be built up and strengthened. So what does this practically mean? What does it practically look like? Douglas Moo explains when he writes, I cannot fully renew my mind without the active help of other believers. I cannot understand what Scripture teaches apart from dialogue with others who are reading the same Scripture. I must participate in the local church to help others grow. Whatever gift I have been given, I am under obligation to my Lord to use it to serve his people. Now, Paul lists seven spiritual gifts, which is not meant as an exhaustive list. However, seven being the number of perfection cannot go unnoticed here. The body cannot function as it is meant to if we are not each humbly serving with our unique gifts. Each of us is to cast aside personal pride and uplift the other members. Yet when we look at the turmoil of the American church, we do not see a church where members are humbly and actively serving. What we see are spectators. What we see are fans. I'm reminded of a meme I once saw that was making a joke about the way things are in most congregations, where 20% of the people do 80% of the ministry. And the meme said, how can we get that 20% who are already doing everything to reach their maximum potential? But do you think that's what Paul was talking about here, my brothers and sisters? Where are the people giving their minds, their bodies, their gifts, their time, and their energy? Where is the humility? Where is the transformation of renewed minds? It seems to me a lot of folks have stopped trying to discern the will of the Lord, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Where are the living sacrifices today? And this begs the question regarding our own body shape, individually and corporately. Firstly, regarding our minds and behaviors, are we being conformed to the schemes of the world, or are our minds transformed by the renewing power of the Holy Spirit? Dr. Joel Stantos comments that psychologists teach there are two mental laws that contribute heavily to our mental state of being. The first is the law of concentration, which states that whatever we dwell upon grows in our life experience. Whatever we think about on a continual basis becomes a part of us. In other words, we become what we think. And the more we dwell on something, the more we have of it in our lives. So this is the first law, the law of concentration. The second law is the law of substitution, which states that our conscience can only hold one thought at a time. It does not make any difference to our mind whether the thought is negative or positive. It can only hold one thought at a time. However, Dr. Stantos comments that we can choose to substitute negative thoughts with positive thoughts, thus changing our mental state of being. So thoughts have consequences. Say that with me. Thoughts have consequences. If we keep feeding our minds with the stuff of earth, we will not just eventually start thinking like the world, we will start behaving like the world as well. So how is your body shape then? How is it? Are you conforming to the world and to the spirit of the age, or are your minds daily being transformed and renewed by the Holy Spirit as a living sacrifice? But let us move from individual body shape to corporate body shape. Paul has spoken about humility instead of pride within the body of Christ. Each of us has gifts that are to be used to build up the church. Yet when 20% of the folks are doing most of the ministry, that doesn't reveal a healthy body shape corporately, my brothers and sisters. By God's mercy, we all have been set apart to serve. The church is not a place you go to have yourself served. It's not self-serve, right? You don't go to church to be entertained either. What Paul has revealed in our text today is that the church is the body of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus, whereby every member needs the other members. Most churches will never, ever, ever reach their maturity because they are meant for more. And people will not let go of their hubris and their pride. They're either too proud to serve or they are too prideful and they seek power and they control. But of course, if the church is the body of Christ, then corporately we must have the mind of Christ. It's not just that we're meant to have the mind of Christ individually. Corporately, we are to have the mind of Christ. And this naturally brings us to the great Christ hymn of Philippians 2, where we are to behold the humility of the Lord Jesus, who came to serve and not to be served. We are to have this mind among us as a community. And our body shape as a church should look like the way of life modeled by our Lord. Corporately, we are to have the mind of Messiah, for we have been set apart to live and serve as living sacrifices. Mitchell Skelton shares, how many of us have watched Trading Spaces, or seen Bob Vila, and become inspired to finally do something about our own tired and outdated homes? It's easy to get inspired to do something. Once inspired by seeing a week's work condensed into a one-hour TV show, we can easily envision the lasting improvements we can make in our own homes. Yet here we sit. Here we sit. 1 month, 6 weeks, 1 year after starting, and our weekend transformation sits half finished as we struggle to find the time to finish what we have started. Skelton notes this can happen in our spiritual lives as well. We begin our walk with Christ full of excitement, fully intending to do whatever it takes to make it all the way. But after a while, it's the same thing over and over and over again. The same prayer, the same worship, the same Bible stories. We want to follow Jesus, but we begin to drift away. We get distracted. The excitement cools. Our dedication weakens. We begin to neglect prayer and study and gathering for church. And before we know it, our faith is weak, perhaps even dead. What then? What then? My friends, transformation by the renewal of our minds is a daily process for life. For life. Therefore, by the mercies of God, let us recommit ourselves today and every day, presenting our minds and our bodies as holy and acceptable to God. But let us not conform to the schemes of this world, which are always trying to pull us so that we drift away. But we live out our liturgical lives in the power of God's Holy Spirit as living sacrifices. Let us pray. Give us, O Lord, steadfast hearts, which no unworthy thought can drag down. Unconquered hearts, which no tribulation can wear out. Upright hearts, which no unworthy purpose can tempt aside. Bestow upon us understanding to know you, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, and faithfulness that finally may embrace you. Amen.